Lecture topic, Islam and the Media, Part 2.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقيل للذين اتقوا ماذا أنزل ربكم؟ قالوا خيرا. للذين أحسنوا في هذه الدنيا حسنة، ولدار الآخرة خير، ولنعم دار المتقين. وعن زيد بن أرقم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما تركت من خير إلا وقد أمرتكم به، وما تركت من شر إلا وقد نهيتكم عنه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, in the previous Jum'ah we spoke about the anti-Islamic sentiment which has been echoed and broadcasted by the Western media. And we spoke about the importance as Muslims for us to practically reflect Islam in its true and pristine form. Like someone said it very beautifully, until and unless our Islam will not become transformative and not remain merely informative, we will not convince anyone on the beauty of Islam. So that is the duty that we owe, to reflect Islam in its original form. With regards to the agenda of the kafir, the Quran very explicitly says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. That the kuffar among them, they used to tell one another, and they used to also mention it to others, don't ever listen to the Quran, openly taking and diverting people. And when Muhammad and his followers recite the Quran, وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ, then try and raise your voice in the presence of those reading Quran, so that you dominate over them, so that nobody becomes impressed with the Quran. فَلَنُذِيقَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, for them is a severe punishment in this world and in the Akhirah. But after speaking about the reaction of a kafir and how he always abuses the situation and gives an incorrect image of Islam, in the subsequent verses, Allah highlights and identifies and outlines the characteristic of the believer and the duty of the believer in the midst of the hostility. وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ. Allah says, and when the believer is asked, when we know such blatant lies have been circulated against the Muslims and Islam, which is absolutely fabricated and has no truth. You know, people are uttering these statements in your presence, in your firm, in your company, wherever it is. What is your moral obligation? Do you have a responsibility as a Muslim or not? Hence the Quran very eloquently says, وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ. That whenever the believer is asked, is this true about the Muslims? Are you people oppressive? Are you aggressive? Are you bloodthirsty? They seize the opportunity and they use every possible platform to present the present Islam in its pristine form. So that is our duty, that whenever the opportunity presents, of course this particular characteristic will demand that you and I have sound and adequate knowledge regarding the matters of deen, that we can engage intellectually and explain to people the truth that Allah has revealed. As a matter of fact, we ought to have in our hearts the passion and the aspiration for the guidance of humanity in its entirety. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passes by a monk who had exerted himself as was practiced amongst them. Nabi alayhi salam says, La rahbaniyata fil Islam. There is no monasticism in my teachings. Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu came to Nabi alayhi salam to ask permission. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, this is not part of my teachings. I get married also. I have a family life. I have a social life. And if you wish to isolate yourself, then if there is anything similar to that, then it refers to sitting in the masjid for lengthy periods. That is about the maximum that Islam gives concession. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passes by this particular monk who had exerted himself and he had tired himself. He looked at him and he started crying profusely. So someone said, oh, Umar, innahu nasrani. He is not a Muslim. Why are you sympathizing with him so much? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, this verse flashes through my mind. عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةٌ. Where Allah says, a body that went through so much difficulties, yet it's destined for Jahannam. I looked at this man and I said, he has done so much But he's deprived of iman, his outcome is jahannam. رَأَيْتُ نَصَبَهُ وَاجْتِهَادَهُ I pitied the man, how much he has exerted himself, yet not in truth, so his consequences will be grave. We take for example the incident of Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Muslims were compelled to journey beyond Arabia and leave and forsake their native country in relation to the atrocities that were meted out against them. And the first delegation that was dispatched by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heading towards Africa, towards Abyssinia. And among them were 11 Sahaba and 4 women. And among those 11, one was Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam's son-in-law Uthman radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cousin Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. When they arrived in Abyssinia to take shelter there, to take refuge because of the persecution that was taking place against them. Again, now look at the pattern of the media. Look at the pattern and find it tied up with history. The kuffar did not rest over this, and they deputed a delegation to go to speak to the king Najashi, who was in charge of Abyssinia, King Nigas, and to poison his mind against the Muslims. Now let us see what was the role played by Sahaba in the midst of this anti-Islamic sentiment. So amongst the kuffar that came at that time was Amr ibn As, who had not yet accepted Islam. And they came in the presence of the king, and they brought a lot of handsome gifts to impress the king. They presented it, and as was customary in the norm, they bowed and they prostrated before the king. And then they said, King, we have come to tell you that there are some youngsters from Makkah who have forsaken our faith. رَغِبُوا عَمْ مِلَّتِنَا وَعَمْ مِلَّتِكَ They have abandoned the faith of their forefathers, and they are very evil people, they are very aggressive, it's a very evil nation, and they have come to take refuge in your land. I think you should deport them back to Makkah. The ministers and the other priests that were sitting in the court of this king, they also nodded in approval and agreed, and they said, yes, I think it makes sense. But King Nigas, and Allah gave him hidayat in relation to this year, he said, no. قَوْمٌ لَجَأُوا إِلَىٰ بِلَادِ وَاخْتَارُوا جِوَارِي عَلَىٰ جِوَارِ غَيْرِ A nation that has come and take refuge in my land and have preferred my neighborhood over others. I think I have a moral obligation to them. I will not deport them until I don't have a one-on-one discussion with them. So he said, do me a favor, go call one of them. I want to now investigate these allegations. Now let us ask ourselves, in our environment, a child perhaps going to school, as the media harps on it that Muslims are like this, a child is called out, or a particular person in his business field is singled out. Tell me, you're a Muslim. I see your name is Muhammad. Mr. Muhammad, can I have a discussion with you? These are the allegations. Could you perhaps clear the air? What knowledge do we have on the matters of deen? How clued are we? How adequate is our knowledge on the matters of deen? Never mind knowing the detailed explanation of what is in the Quran. We don't even know the index of the Quran. We don't even know what is discussed. Never mind the detailed discussion of what comes in the Quran. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu was called. Ja'far radiallahu anhu told the Sahaba, Ana khatibukum al-yawm. Today you leave it to me. Today I want to speak to the king, and I want to use this opportunity to present Islam. Ja'far radiallahu anhu then comes, and they did not bring any gifts. As I mentioned, the bait of the enemies of Islam is materialism. When they presented in the court, they greeted him in a courteous way without bowing or prostrating. So these kuffar said, look at them, they have disrespected you, they have dishonored you. So the king asked him, you know, it's the norm that whoever enters in my court, out of courtesy and respect, you bow and you humble yourself. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, this is against our teachings. We only bow and we only prostrate to Allah. Whatever norms of society, as Muslims, we live as dignified citizens. We uphold ethics and values as long as it does not infringe on the practices of Quran and Hadith. Whatever else they are, we will be polite, we will smile, we will be courteous. I'm sorry, I do not shake hands with strange women. It is against my teachings. Very polite, very diplomatic, but we stand on our principle. Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, I do not bow nor prostrate or give a humble gesture to any human that is only to Allah. The kuffar came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, look here, this debate is continuing for a very long time. We are telling you to worship our gods. You are telling us to worship your Allah. Let's engage into some negotiation. One year you worship our gods and one year we worship your Allah. Let's have now, you know, those people, the so-called intelligent thinkers, they find this to be very appeasing, very viable, very workable. The Quran says, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءَ It is the aim that you also deny Allah as they denied. So you become common in the act of disbelief. Allah reveals the verses of Kafirun. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ La a'budu ma ta'budun wa la antum a'biduna ma a'bud. Say unto them, I cannot compromise in this. What compromise are you talking? How can I make a compromise in the matters of truth? I have not and I will not worship your gods. And the truth is, you will also not worship my Allah. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. You have your faith and I have my faith. You go your way and I go my way. That is why ulama say, prior to sleeping, it is preferable, comes in the hadith, to recite Surah Kafirun, because in this one is reaffirming his faith and is denying shirk and polytheism. So it is strengthening and reaffirming your faith that, oh Allah, I am as a Muslim and I sleep as a Muslim, and hence if I die as a believer. Ja'far radiallahu anhu seizes the opportunity and he comes. Now scholars have written among the many introductions of Islam that have been presented, the most comprehensive and eloquent presentation of Islam has been that of Ja'far radiallahu anhu in the presence of King Negus in Abyssinia. And as Muslims, we need to know that Islam, Africa is rich with Islam. Prior to the Ansar of Medina, the first who entertained and were hospitable to the Muslims and the Sahaba were none other than the Abyssinians. If we want to trace Islamic history, go into Africa and you will see what a rich contribution Islam has made in the African continent. Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu stands up in front of the king and he says, listen, O king. Now this is what I want to ask, that in the midst of the hostility that is being propagated against Islam, when the opportunity presents, how sound is our knowledge for us to take a platform and explain Islam? He stood up and he said, listen, O king. Ayyuhal malik, kunna qawman ahla jahiliya, na'budu al-asnam, naqta'u al-arham, nusi'u al-jiwar. Let me tell you, O king, we were a downtrodden nation. We committed every vice, sin and transgression you could think of in front of the king. Nabi alayhi salam said, Afdalul jihad, the noblest form of jihad is the proclamation of the truth in the presence of a tyrant ruler. That is the greatest form of jihad. You see our people, you know, how suddenly he blends in when he realizes his position is at stake, his wealth is at stake, his fame is at stake. Then suddenly there's a sense of ambiguity filtering through his speech. What did he say, O king? We were kunna qawman ahla jahiliya. We were living in ignorance. Na'budu al-asnam. We used to worship idols. In fact, in Bukhari, there is a quotation, a sahabi says, we were so ignorant that kunna na'budu hajar. We used to worship a stone. فَإِذَا وَجَدْنَا حَجَرًا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. If we found a stone that had a better sparkle, we will abandon the first god and embrace the second god. That was the level of deviation. نَقْطَعُ الْأَرْحَامِ. We used to severe ties. نُسِيءُ الْجِوَارِ. We were most cruel and harsh to our neighbors. And this remained for decades. حَتَّى بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. Until Allah took pity on the Arab nation. And Allah took pity on humanity in its entirety. And Allah sent a prophet amongst us. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Indeed, Allah has favored the Muslims by sending a prophet amongst them, who purifies them and teaches them nobility and wisdom. We accepted this man's message. نَعْرِفُ نَسَبَهُ وَصِدْقَهُ وَأَمَانَتَهُ. We identified his piety, his integrity, his loyalty, his faithfulness. When we accepted his message, upon that our nation opposed us. And we were compelled to leave our country and we have come and we have taken shelter in your land. When the king heard this, he was very, very impressed. And he says that I give you freedom to live in my land. And nobody will harass you. Subsequently, the Muslims move out. But like I said, the agenda of the kuffar continues. The next day they had a meeting and they decided, let's approach it on a contentious issue. And the next day the delegation of the kuffar comes back to the king. And they tell the king that, you know what? These Muslims have weird ideas regarding Jesus. And you know what Jesus means to us. It's ultimate. And they have weird ideas regarding Jesus. Now, if we have to engage in a discussion with a non-Muslim, and I perhaps may make mention of this here, this booklet was brought to me by one of the brothers in our Jamaat Khana. 2-3 weeks ago, this was circulated here at the Kilani Mall. Now look at the pretext. Allah has no son. And this is a debate between, a picture of a debate between a Christian and a Muslim. And the Muslim is told, but you are worshipping the moon god. You are not worshipping Allah. And the proof of that is you base your fasting and you terminate your fasting on the moon. The entire discussion here is, and in the end, in discussion, of course, it's very shallow. It's shallow for a man who's firm in faith. For a man who's not firm in faith, it is very, very deceptive. It's been circulated here. It is from the United States. Now let me ask you a question. If your child comes home with this booklet and he poses these questions to you, how do you engage with him and how do you answer these questions? So Jafar radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, we say regarding Isa what the Quran says. لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. That Allah says Jesus will never deny. He will never deny being the servant of Allah. He will acknowledge himself. And he was born to the Virgin Mary in a miraculous way to reflect the greatness and the grandeur of Allah. And he recited the verses. When he heard this, the king started crying and he said, Jesus himself had said nothing more than this. I am convinced you have spoken the truth. You will now live freely in my land. And I am also convinced that these people have come to poison my mind. The fact that you stood up and gave me a clear picture has convinced me. I make you my witness. I accept Iman on Allah and on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this gathering. And then, after many years, when Jafar radiallahu anhu comes back, he sends one of his ministers with Jafar radiallahu anhu. And it coincided with the fall of Khaybar, with the conquest of Khaybar. When Nabi alayhi salam was reunited with his cousin Jafar, and Nabi alayhi salam said, I don't know, bifathi Khaybar afrah am biqudumi Jafar. I don't know, has the reunion with Jafar brought greater joy to me or the conquest of Khaybar? And then this minister came and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is your companion. Ask him what my king has to say regarding you. And he then requested from Nabi alayhi salam that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must make dua for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his hands and three times made dua. Allahumma gfir lin najashi. Allahumma gfir lin najashi. And the sahaba said ameen to this dua. All this happened because Jafar radiallahu anhu stood up and presented Islam in its original form. When I was in the States post 9/11, there was a gentleman who insisted that I must address a non-Muslim audience. I was a bit skeptical. It was a fairly large audience, Yahud, Nasara, in relation to the propaganda against Islam. But he insisted that I must come and address the audience. Now this is also of paramount importance that we understand the approach when inviting towards Allah. The Quran says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'idhati al hasanah." وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That when you engage, do not become impulsive. Do not become emotional. That is not the way we engage in inviting towards Islam. Undoubtedly, it is a needed platform today. And from time to time, we are faced with this challenge. We have to intellectually engage with them. How does the Quran say? Invite them through wisdom. Look at the tone of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He presents in the court of Namrud. Namrud knows that this is a Muslim. So he says, oh, what is Islam? What are you talking about? So Ibrahim alayhi salam starts introducing Allah. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ. Have you not seen the person who argued with Ibrahim regarding his Lord? And he said that I am the Lord. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, no, my Allah is the ultimate being. So he said, okay, describe your Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. My Allah is the one who gives life and causes death. This was the first invitation that Ibrahim alayhi salam gave regarding Allah. Now look at the absurdity, the foolishness of this king. But now from here we deduce the ethics, the principles of engaging in a debate. What did the king say? He says, oh okay, your Allah gives life and causes death. That's nothing different, I can also do that. He called an innocent man that was walking and he said, behead him cold-bloodedly. The man was beheaded and he says, there I gave death. And then he called a person who was to be persecuted and was to be executed. And he said, call him and tell him I have released him. I have now given him life. Now one was now to re-engage and say, I mean, look here, you're not making sense. You're not making sense. What are you talking? I mean, you comparing apples with bananas. There's no compatibility in the parables. But scholars write, Ibrahim alayhi salam realized the foolishness of this man. He diverted the tone of the discussion. We need to learn how to argue. The Quran says, invite towards the deen of Allah through wisdom, number one. وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ with beautiful advice. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. And if it comes to a point where you have to argue, then argue, but argue in a good way. There also the Quran attaches a condition. Allah speaks about the seven sleepers that slept for centuries, for 300 years. Now there was great debate amongst their numbers, and there was also great debate amongst the period for which they slept. And amongst the Yahud and the Nasara, they always used to argue with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. Allah revealed the explicit figure, the number and the duration of their sleep. Thereafter Allah told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Do not engage in this trivial argument. If they happen to raise it, tell them what is the Islamic viewpoint. But do not persist on going further in this debate. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam changed the focus. And what did he say? Okay, you're talking of life and death. All right, nonetheless, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Actually, my Allah causes the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. How about you reversing the procedure? How about you reversing the procedure? فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Speechless. He had no answer. He had absolutely nothing. As Muslims, we need to understand, when we speak about the beauty of Islam, the specialities of Islam, I was mentioning about when I had to address this non-Muslim audience, how much do we know? There was quite a bit of Yahud and Nasara. So I first started speaking, and that is the tone that the Quran introduces. How much has the Quran spoken about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Do we know? We can tell them more about Moses than they can tell us about Moses. But then do we know what the Quran says about Moses? We don't know ourselves. The Quran speaks about Musa in 537 ayat. In 37 chapters of the Quran, Allah speaks about Musa alayhi salam. Undoubtedly, scholars unanimously agree, after the Quran, the next divine scripture is the Torah. Allah says, bring them to common grounds. Recently, I had to give a talk here at there was a multi-faith, interfaith program, and they had various religious leaders to come and represent the different faiths. So again, we have to use this in a diplomatic way and present Islam. So I stood up and I spoke about Islam. One Yahudi woman stood up and she says that I find you people are very biased against women and you are very gender biased. Tell me why. Why do you disallow your woman to lead the congregational prayers in the mosque? Why are you so prejudiced against your woman? So I told her, listen, you believe in prophets, I believe in prophets. And here again is the beauty of Islam. The only encompassing faith is Islam. You have Moses, you have Jesus, we have both. We have all the prophets. We don't differentiate. You shun one. You say he was illegitimate. And on the other hand, you say Jesus was divinity. Islam has a moderate view. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي. I was once flying from Perth to Sydney, and there was a gentleman sitting next to me looking at my appearance against the topic of faith prompted. And we started speaking about prophets. He referred to prophets in such derogatory language. I swear by Allah, you will not refer to an adulteress in such language. I told him, you know what, my friend, never mind the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We will never dare refer to the mistake of Adam as a transgression. And the Quran speaks about it. You must see what the scholars have written, that when a person speaks about the mistake of Adam, he has to restrict himself to the text of Quran. He has to thread very fine lines. He must not add any vocabulary. It is not correct for any Muslim to refer to Adam in any derogatory way. Hence, we enjoy the privilege of having the most comprehensive faith. We include all the prophets. So I told this woman, I said, you know what, before you accuse us of being prejudiced against women, tell me, why did the Lord Almighty not send any woman as a prophet? That's my question to you. You believe in prophets, you look at the chain of prophets that have come. Are you going to then say that Islam, or wal'iyadu billah, the Almighty himself is prejudiced against a woman itself? And again, another beauty of Islam, and this is a bitter pill. This is a bitter pill for the enemies of Islam. And that is, Islam is there not to accommodate your whims and your fancies. Islam is, in fact, Islam goes against that. Because you see, when, like the Quran says, وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, that you have to surrender yourself to truth. And you cannot accept or expect truth to submit itself to your evil. Imagine if the definition of kindness is what a child says regarding his father. Imagine if a school has to function as the children say. Well, what chaos there will be in the world. This is the same thing the Quran says. Those that have become slaves of their carnal passions and desires, they will have a major problem with Islam, because Islam is not based on the fulfillment of your lust and your desire. So we have to understand the beauty that Allah has given us and present Islam as Allah has given us. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, again, look at the approach. When he finds his nation was engaged in idol worship, and he observed that they are worshipping the moon and the star, and that is the debate that is written in this book. That is the debate that the Muslims are worshipping the moon god, and that was the practice in the pagan Arabs. And that is why everything is based around the lunar system and the moon. The Quran says it so beautifully. What is the merit of the moon in Islam? The moon is not the ultimate thing. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. Oh, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they ask you regarding the moon. Tell them it is an ideal way of calculating their days and their months. That is the viewpoint, but we don't even know those basic things of the Quran. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the diplomatic approach that he uses in presenting the truth. The Quran says, وَلَا تَصُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَصُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Do not abuse the gods that are worshipped by other people, because then they will also use vulgar language against Allah, which you won't like. So we need to understand within the framework of Quran and Hadith, what is the manner in which we engage? How do we speak? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam finds his nation worshipping various things. And scholars write the reason why various things were worshipped over the decades was two things. Wherever they seen benefit, they worshipped it to secure benefit. Wherever they seen a threat, they worshipped it to save themselves against the fear. So Ibrahim alayhi salam used a very diplomatic approach. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَآ كَوْكَبًا. One day it was a bright night and the stars were glittering, and he was walking with his non-Muslim friends. So he looked at that star, he says, this looks bright, this looks radiant. Perhaps, who knows, this could be my God. I mean, look here, it's so bright. This is the approach he used. He did not oppose them. Look at the manner in which he presented. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَآ كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. He said, I think, where can Ibrahim alayhi salam ever have this thought? If we ever thought he was saying, again, we don't have the understanding of Quran. Wherever the Quran speaks about this year, it does not mean that Ibrahim believed in this. This was the approach he instituted to make them understand the feebleness of what they worship. So he said, maybe this is my God. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. But as the night disappeared and the stars disappeared, he said, I don't like gods that make their presence and then they disappear. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. Then the next day when he looked at the bright moon, I mean, this article says, trying to convince this Muslim that it's a moon god, where the Quran explicitly says, لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. Don't bow to the sun nor to the moon, but bow to the one that created both. And that is our message. Scientists will take you to the moon, and astronomers will take you to this planet and that planet. Islam has come to take you to the creator of the moon and not the moon. So what happened? He looks at the moon, he says, perhaps this is my God. Again, when it disappears, he says, no. Then comes the sun. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرِ. When he looks at the sun, he says, no, this is the brightest, this must be my God. But when that disappears, he says, no. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي. I focus my being to that Allah who is ever living and never dies. That was the approach he used in inviting them towards the truth. So in a nutshell, brothers, we have to see that whenever we engage, we need to develop within ourselves that knowledge, and sometimes in a diplomatic way. One person came to Salman Farsi. He said, your prophet, I mean, he teaches you how to go to toilet. Now, brothers, if you get exposed to the kafir life, then you will appreciate the social conduct that has been taught to us by Nabi alayhi salam. If you only sit with Muslims, you won't appreciate how nice it looks to eat with your right hand. But sit with a kafir one day, travel with him one day, travel in the world and see how he eats, see how he goes to a toilet. And then you say, Ya Allah, you have been so kind, you have taught me these basic ethics, Allah. I know how to relieve myself. So Sayyidina Salman, with a sense of humor, said, yes, you're right. Actually, my Prophet taught me everything, and he has also taught me the ethics of relieving myself. I mean, look at the dua that Nabi alayhi salam has taught us. Oh Allah, I ask for your forgiveness, and then I am grateful to you for removing that from my body which caused discomfort to me. Nabi alayhi salam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ. There is nothing that was good or beneficial for you, O my ummah, but that I have commanded you to do it. You don't have to ask the world what to do and how to do. I've given it to you. مَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ شَرٍ. Whatever could harm you spiritually or physically, I have prohibited you from it. You don't have to ask anyone for advice. You have it. Present it and convey it to the world. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He make us ambassadors of truth, that we can reflect Islam in its pristine form. The Nabi of Allah said, even if one kafir becomes impressed of the truth at your hands, where the Nabi of Allah went to that young Yahudi youngster who was in the throes of death, a Jewish boy. Nabi Sassan said, you're about to die. Believe in Allah. He looked at his father. His father said, okay, listen to what Muhammad tells you. Atiq Abul Qasim. He recites the kalima. Nabi alayhi salam comes out of there happy and radiant. Sahaba asked him, what's the matter? Nabi alayhi salam said, Allah save the soul of this little child through me. So may Allah give us the opportunity. We use this platform that Allah gives us to present Islam. Even if one man gets guidance through our humble contribution, it is sufficient for our salvation. Allah inspire us with the reality. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.